we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the Nigeria Rugby Football Federation, which has signed a kit sponsorship and partnership deal with the British apparel company BLK Sport. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the Federation's president, Kelechi Mbagwu.
Well, the deal with BLK Sports is for free sponsorship of kits for the NRFF. Our national teams will get free shirts, shorts, socks, and I think a set of tracksuits and tops every year for the next 3 years. It's a fantastic deal. It means that the national team will be well kitted out, and the BLK Sports is quite an extraordinary apparel company. The quality of their goods is, unarguable. Just look at the pictures. It's great.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners what the Nigerian Rugby Football Federation will benefit from the deal?
The Federation benefits greatly from the deal. I mean, having free kits every year, where previously we had to buy, and it's not cheap. Look at the current Forex rates, free equipment, free kits for the next 3 years, even after I've left office. That's a great deal for anybody. And of course, we have the commercial aspect of it. The BLK and the NRFF will benefit from those who want to buy the kit. I have a lot of friends who want to relieve their childhood, and also a lot of rugby enthusiasts who would like replica copies of the kit. So I think it's a very valuable deal, a very good deal. Benefits both parties.
Do you have plans to seek for more of such deals?
Certainly. The BLK deal has set a standard, and there have been other sponsorships in the past. Our Independent Sevens national games and travel. Some individuals have also put their money in. We will certainly be seeking more sponsorship deals. That is what will help rugby grow. We can't do everything on our own. We can't expect the federal government to sponsor everything as well. Companies, sports associated companies especially, we reach out to them, and I think that this is the beginning of a very long and fruitful relationship.
Do you also have any information on your programs to improve and popularize the game in Nigeria?
Our programs will continue virtually, even when we have the pandemic and the current ban on contact sports. Get into rugby program, rugby in schools, and the new coaching and education classes being taken by Coach Bronson Weir. I think that, we will keep ourselves busy. We will continue to popularize the game as much as we can. And hopefully when this pandemic is on the downturn, we will be able to get back onto the field and play the game we love.
That's Kelechi Mbagwu, the president of the Nigeria Rugby Football Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. Kelechi mentioned the new coaching and education classes being taken by Coach Bronson Weir.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's day four of the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. The AP's Graham Agars reports on Wednesday's Day 3 action.
Men's top seed Novak Djokovic dropped his first set of the tournament, but survived in four against Kyle Edmund to reach the U.S. Open third round.
I'm actually glad that I did drop a set and got tested the way I did today against Kyle, and I expected it to be a tough task, so I'm really glad.
The same couldn't be said for women's top seed Carolina Pliskova, who was a second-round upset victim, losing to the Frenchwoman Caroline Garcia. Naomi Osaka continued her run, is now into the third round.
It's just whenever I step on the court, I don't think about anything but the match. So any off-court things, of course, it's a great motivation for me to want to do well this tournament. But for the most part, I feel like I've been in quarantine and practicing so long that I don't know, I prefer to play matches. Of course, the matches are being televised, and of course, there are people that are cheering for me I hope they're cheering for me, but from faraway places. I think I definitely feel the positive energy.
And there were good wins for American hopes, including Shelby Rogers, Madison Brengel, Jennifer Brady, Taylor Fritz, and Ann Lee. Lee's upset win coming over 13-seeded fellow American Allison Risk. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. We heard Naomi Osaka say she definitely feels the positive energy in New York. Well, the Japanese star got some more positive energy after her easy victory Wednesday. Naomi received a surprise Zoom call on court from her mother, who held up a poster of social media emojis. Naomi Osaka later deciphered the emojis for tennis fans, saying her mom was saying through the various emojis, "Good job. Don't do Instagram and Twitter and instead go to sleep." Another emoji translated meant drink green juice and get some rest. And the fourth and final emoji, I love you.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion. And you're listening to This Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association playoff action Wednesday night, the Houston Rockets and the Miami Heat both posted narrow 2-point victories in Orlando, Florida. The Rockets got a key defensive play late in the game from star guard James Harden, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane.
James Harden has never been known for his defense, but on a night when he struggled at the offensive end of the floor, he made the biggest play of the Houston Rockets' 104-102 Game 7 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder at the defensive end when he blocked Lou Dort's three-pointer with 4.8 seconds left to play. Harden finished with 17 points on 4 of 15 shooting, and he says he had to find other ways to contribute.
Defensively, had a rough shooting night, you know, turned the ball over a little bit too much, but tried to find the ways to impact the game and, came up with a huge block to end the game.
Robert Covington and Eric Gordon led the Rockets with 21 points, combining to connect on 11 three-pointers. With the win, the Rockets advanced to face the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference semifinals. I'm Adam Spillane.
Thanks, Adam. And the Miami Heat edged the Milwaukee Bucks in Orlando. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Heat squandered a 6-point lead in the closing seconds before Jimmy Butler drained two free throws with no time left to give Miami a 116-114 triumph over the top-seeded Bucks.
Part of the game. We're going to find a way. If the game did happen to go into overtime, we're still going to win that game. We're confident.
The foul shots give the Heat a 2-0 lead in the series. Goran Dragic scored 23 points. Tyler Hero added 17 off the bench. And Jay Crowder had 16 for the Heat. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 29 points and 14 rebounds for the Bucks, but he also committed the foul that sent Butler to the line.
It's the playoffs. So obviously, Miami is a great defensive team. You know, they play hard to make it hard for us. We try to make it hard for them, and, you know, it's not going to be easy. You got to, you know, grind through it. You got to play hard. You got to screen hard. You got to roll hard.
Chris Middleton scored 23 points for Milwaukee, the last three coming when Dragic was called for fouling him with 4.3 seconds left. I'm Dave Ferry.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Yo, yo, yo. Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. VOA's Jim Stevenson kicked off his latest game room sports package with English football. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
This event just wasn't about Brighton. It was about the football industry as a whole. It was about the sports industry as a whole. It was about live events as a whole.
A sound not heard in English football stadiums since the coronavirus pandemic began. Brighton welcomed back fans at the Amex Stadium for a friendly against Chelsea, which ended in a 1-1 draw. Paul Barber is the chief executive of Brighton and Hove Albion.
Just to show government that we can stage things safely, but we also need to now move through the gears, providing the other pilot events are similarly successful so that we can bring more fans back to the stadium as quickly as possible, because the whole football economy and the wider economy really does depend on us having our business back running as quickly as we can. But obviously it's important that it stays safe, and that's why these events being progressive are very, very important.
The Premier League club admitted 2,524 supporters, with strict social distancing measures in place around the ground and for seating in the sparsely populated stands. Graham Potter, Brighton and Hove Albion head coach, was happy.
Fantastic. It's obviously a small step. It's the first step for us, but so nice to see people on the ground and hear the supporters and hearing them engaging with the game. Really nice feeling.
Plenty of hand sanitization points on the approaches to the stadium and required face coverings during entry, although not while seated, did not dampen fans' enthusiasm.
Football without supporters is a lesser of a thing, but we also know why we've had to do it. So it's been a strange time, the time that we've all had to adapt to, but like I said, it's a nice first step to getting people back in the ground and everything back to as close to normal as we can. It looked like everybody was enjoying it. Everybody was keeping a safe distance from where I was standing. Hopefully that's the start, the first step to a full recovery.
A digital match ticket was scanned for entry into the stadium, with cashless transactions at kiosks, and there was signage reminding fans for the need to regularly wash hands. Chief Executive Paul Barber says the fans respected all of the protocols.
A lot of credit due to the fans. You know, they listened to the request that we've made of them. They were very, very respectful of our staff. They were looking after each other. Really, really very pleased with the way the event has gone.
The preseason game was part of a number of pilot events announced by the Department for Digital, Culture, Media, and Sport for a phased return of spectators following the ban on mass gatherings introduced in March due to the coronavirus outbreak. The Seagulls are set to host Chelsea again in their opening Premier League match September 14th. That match is currently scheduled to be played behind closed doors. Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
The PGA Tour saw a fantastic finish in Chicago, where Spaniard Jon Rahm and world number one American Dustin Johnson each had a hot putter at the BMW Championship. First, Johnson rolled in a 15-meter putt on the final hole of regulation to catch Rahm and force a playoff. But Rahm quickly answered on the very next hole with a massive 22-meter putt that found its way to the center of the hole to win the tournament.
Well, I would have rather not be on the playoff, but now given that, yeah, probably the closest best thing. Certainly don't want the stress that goes along with seeing DJ's ball in the fairway and then my ball in the rough, and he hits it to 30 feet, I hit it to 60, and, you know, what's going on in my mind, right? But if you're going to tell me I'm going to make a 66-footer to win a tournament, I'll take it any day. You know, I think we all want that, the flashy finish. Maybe not the stress that comes with it, but, you know, I set up myself to enjoy even the uncomfortable moments that we had out there today, and, man, it was fun. So, yeah, pretty close to the best way to finish it.
There was not much for Johnson to say as he claimed the runner-up check.
I played well. I made a really nice putt to get in the playoff. And then, you know, hit another good putt in the playoff. Thought I made it when it came over the hill, but, it happens. He made a really good one.
The Olympia Fields North Course played tough with higher scores than we usually see the pros card, as Tiger Woods explains.
Yeah, this golf course was basically a U.S. Open, with the rough being as high as it is, and fairways a little bit narrow. Look at the scores, and I don't think that we've seen, you know, scores like this in a non-major in a very long time.
The course difficulty reflects the type of year Woods and the rest of the players have endured.
Difficult year and difficult season for everyone involved in the sport of golf. But we're certainly coming out on the positive sides, and this year was certainly one that I don't think any of us will ever forget.
Japan's Hideki Matsui placed third and knows he'll have another tough challenge at the next event. Well, it had obviously been a very tough week, but I think I was able to play tenaciously. Obviously, I won't be able to play well next week at East Lake unless I fix my shots, so I will work hard to be ready for the tournament.
It feels good.
Winning does, as Rasmus Højgaard of Denmark topped South African Justin Walters in a playoff of the European Tour's ISPS Handa UK Championship.
I didn't really expect it when we started today. I was 5 shots back, so I was just trying to score as low as possible and see where I ended up, and ended in a playoff and a win as well, so I'm very happy.
As he made his charge toward the top, he kept tabs on his rise along the course.
I did take a look at some of the leaderboards out there, so I had a feeling of where I was. Just try to keep my focus on what I can control, and that's setting up as many birdie chances as possible, and I did that coming in.
Walters had his ups and downs.
You know, I only have myself to blame, really. I hit 3 bad tee shots in regulation, which really cost me, you know. So after all of that being said, to birdie 3 out of my last 5 or however many it was to get into that position, that's good too. So I've got to, you know, focus on that.
His constant smile hid the inner determination.
Yeah, I smiled because I'm known to cock things up like that, to be honest with you. So I just thought, well, that's the old Justin coming through to test me a little bit. So yeah, I just kind of looked at it from that point of view and said, right, well, here's the test, here's the challenge, let's see how you respond to it. And yeah, I felt like I responded pretty good.
Walters hopes this strong finish will be the start of a better season for him.
I mean, I haven't shown any consistency this year, none whatsoever. I don't think I've made 2 cuts in a row, so we'll just crack on and keep doing what I'm doing and see where that lands me.
European golfers aged 50 and over now have fresh sponsorship and a rebranded tour as insurance firm Stayshure takes the lead for a new Legends Tour. Welsh golfer Ian Woosnam, now 62, is looking forward to rounds with other regional golf legends.
It's massive news, you know, for everyone in Europe over 50 years of age. I can't wait to get going. Can't wait to see everybody again. We've had a little bit of a time off, so I think everyone's going to be dying to get going, and it's just brilliant news for everyone.
The aim is to build a larger, commercially vibrant senior golf tour in Europe, similar to the successful PGA Seniors Tour in the United States. The Tour de France is rolling through the French countryside, where Australian rider Caleb Ewan slalomed through the bunch to win a sprint finish and claim the third stage on Monday.
Everyone stayed motivated. We all knew that if it all went right, then I can win the sprint. So, you know, everyone did their job today, and I think everyone gave 110% and made up for the two guys that we've missed, and it worked.
Ewan won three stages last year, including the coveted final leg on the Champs-Élysées in Paris. British Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton sped to his 89th career win at the Belgian Grand Prix, and that extends his lead in his bid for a record-equaling 7th Formula One World Championship.
The start was horrible because it doesn't matter how good your start is off the grid. When you come around turn one, there are car lengths behind you, and then they tow and slipstream you off into turn five. But I managed just to balance it just right. Yeah, this is really just remarkable what the team is doing and what we're doing together. We're continuing to really push the envelope.
The Mercedes driver led every lap from the pole position to claim his fifth win in an increasingly one-sided Formula One campaign. Valtteri Bottas finished 8.4 seconds behind his teammate, with Red Bull driver Max Verstappen in third.
Well, it was not really a fight, you know, I was just trying to do my own race, because quite quickly I could see I could not really follow them. And I tried to put a bit of pressure on Valtteri on the hard tire, but then at one point they told him to speed up and that was it. And they pulled away again. Then also I started to have a lot of vibrations and understeer, so I decided to just spec it out and bring it to the finish. Yeah, it was not ideal, but it's what it is.
Verstappen had split the two Mercedes drivers the week before by edging Bottas for second place. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarterfinal in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. World Athletics takes its Diamond League tour to Belgium Friday night, and I have faith that we might see a world record-breaking performance. Kenya's Olympic 1500 meters champion, Faith Kipyegon, is targeting a new world record at 1,000 meters. Kipyegon will be attempting to better the mark of 2 minutes and 28.98 seconds, set by Russia's double Olympic champion Svetlana Masterkova on the same track in Brussels in 1996. And Faith should have plenty of faith and confidence. Based on her recent Diamond League performance in Monaco, Faith finished only 17 one-hundredths of a second shy of bettering Masterkova's time. Also in Brussels, Ethiopia-born Sifan Hassan, the reigning women's world champion at 1,500 meters and 10,000 meters, will try to set a new record for distance covered in 1 hour. It should be a great night of athletics action in Brussels on Friday. And And that wraps up the September 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Join Press Conference USA host Carol Castigal and VOA international broadcaster Kim Lewis for an encore presentation of a talk with Camille Joseph about his most recent book, The Sword and the Shield, The Revolutionary Lives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., in which he dispels misconceptions about these two iconic civil rights leaders. Listen to this intriguing interview on Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America. Encounter host Carol Castiel this weekend as two regional Africa experts debate the latest developments on the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. And they examine China's pervasive surveillance efforts on the continent. Don't miss VOA's Encounter program with Carol Castiel this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America. Join a panel of prominent Washington journalists as they deliberate the latest top stories of the week. Issues in the News moderator Michael Williams and panelists Tom DeFrank and Abdurrahim Fukara discuss the reaction to the continued protesting in the U.S. over racial injustice. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Need a little straight talk? Want to make sense of the world around you? Ask a question. Hear what others have to say? If so, Voice of America has a variety of talk shows for you. Lifestyle, health, politics, youth, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, TV, or the internet. They examine a wide variety of issues and world events not always covered by other media. VOA.
What's up? What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Cape Town.
We run everything. Yeah. Radio. Yeah. The club.
Yeah. This is Upfront.
The hottest program on The Voice of America.
The hottest under the sun.
Listen to Upfront each Wednesday at 1730 UTC on The Voice of America for great music. Well, I personally like rock and roll. Led Zeppelin makes me go crazy. You need
cooling, baby, I'm not fooling. It's hot, man. It's hot.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beat from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. African Beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Bandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time on The Voice of America.
African Beat is the best. It's number one. We love it.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 Universal Time on The Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.